we just believe in God for a mighty move of His Spirit in America, amen, and for a turnaround in this whole situation. God is on the throne, hallelujah, and He waits for His people to get into position. If my people, who what? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will and heal their land, forgive their sin, and then what? Heal their land. Amen. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Lord, we love You. And we appreciate You. Thank You, Lord. We don't deserve You. But You love us anyways. You loved us first. And You've invited us into Your fellowship, into Your presence. And You made it possible through Your shed blood on the cross for us to have this joy, this peace, this wonderful presence of the Lord that's in us today. And we thank You that You've come, Lord. Thank You that You are with us. And there is a special blessing when we come together and our hearts are united in unity. That's where the Lord commands the blessing. And God wants His church around America, man, to pull together, to do the same thing, to seek His face, all right, and pray, right? Turn from their wicked ways. Judgment begins at the house of God. So if we get it right, God's going to intervene, amen. I already believe there's already some really good things happening, amen, across this nation, that God is birthing revival in different pockets of it right now in different places. How about Shelton, Washington? Great awakening. I know I'm not alone in this, but God is really putting that in our hearts. Amen. God is giving us that vision for revival. I mean, really authentic, genuine Holy Ghost revival. Amen. In America. And that's why, you know, we've got to contend and we've got to press in and we've got to stay on course. As, you know, sometimes God wants to do something and bring something in. But if the enemy can get somebody derailed in the process of that, it can be delayed. It's not that God won't, but it can be delayed if God's people don't stay in position. And I've been really praying, Lord God, that You will humble, you know, America and humble the leadership of America. And including the church, amen, keep us humble, amen. And, you know, the Bible says that we are to humble ourselves. That means I have to take charge of myself and humble myself before God. When you put yourself in the right position before the Lord, then He will raise you up in power and give you His authority. And you will have effectiveness, amen, as a witness for Jesus. And so that's our prayer, is that we will all be a witness for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Guys, I don't know if some of you weren't aware, but a few people shared kind of a spontaneously, I guess you could say, as we were worshiping. And what that is it's just a prophetic utterance. It's spontaneous. It's as the Lord gives them a word to share with the body. And so God is speaking today, amen? And He's speaking by His Spirit. His Holy Spirit is His voice on earth. And if we will get our hearts in the right position, then we'll be able to hear clearly the voice of the Lord. You know, the Lord said, "My sheep, what? Hear My voice." Yeah. So we want to hear clearly what the Lord is saying. And I believe as we pray and we press into the Lord and we stay in that place with Him, amen, then we will automatically come together in unity because it's the Spirit that unites us. Amen. It's not some nice program. Amen. It's not political activism that unites us, but it's the Spirit of the Lord that brings true harmony, true peace. And we'll be like that symphony, that choir, that's every instrument and every voice with its own harmony, its own part. Amen. Making the music of heaven, if you will, on the earth as each one moves and operates in their own gifting, understanding they're part of something bigger than they are. And I'm praying, God, bring back the stragglers, bring back the wayward sons and daughters. Amen. And the lone rangers that somehow have disconnected from the body of Christ. Amen. We need to come back together. It's a time now that God is calling, amen, His sons and daughters back to Him and then to reconnect with their brethren. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. So, Let's pray. Father, I just thank you again in Jesus' name for the opportunity to share with your people. And Lord, I know I don't have anything to give except that you first give it to me. And so I ask you, Holy Spirit, to help me and to speak through me today, Lord, and bring your revelation, your truth, Lord. And Lord, bring the light of revelation into every heart. Drive out darkness from us, Lord. We want to be every part of us, Lord, full of your glory, full of your light, full of your knowledge. Hallelujah, Lord. Let us be that house of prayer, Lord. Let us be that house of prayer. As each one of us, Lord, are your vessels. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we just pray in Jesus' name that you will, Lord, continue to direct, Lord, even the building of this house, Father, knowing that unless the Lord builds a house, they that labor, labor in vain. So, Lord, we don't want to be doing our thing, but we want to know your heart and your will. And we want to be obedient, Lord, even in the details of life. Even in the little things of life, we want to be always, always obedient to you. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for wandering, for straying. Bring us all back to that old landmark, Lord. Bring us back to our first love. Hallelujah. Stir our hearts again. Stir into flame, Father God. Huyakasheyo. Lord, let the bellows of your Holy Spirit, Lord, blow upon the embers that are in our lives, that are in our hearts. We'll come to full flame, Father, for you. Hallelujah. Title of the message is Surrendering to the Holy Spirit, Part 2. When we hear surrender, it's often our flesh says, I don't know if I like that idea, surrendering, because it has this connotation of we become a prisoner. You know, look at it this way. You're going to be a prisoner no matter what. It's just who you choose to be a prisoner of. We were born prisoners. Amen? We were born slaves to sin. But God in his mercy redeemed us and brought us back into fellowship with him. So now we are married to him. Amen? So it's not really as we are prisoners, but our hearts are captivated by God's love. And we delight in him and we rejoice in him because it's something that is now become a desire in us. A relationship with Jesus should never be a chore. It should be a delight. And the more that you encounter and experience the real Jesus, the more your heart will delight in him. That's how it works. You cannot taste of the Lord and not know that he is good. And so we have to, if you will, whet our appetite with that which is really good. Now, if you are used to junk food, you know, eating healthy food is not going to taste good immediately. But you can develop an appetite for healthy things if you discipline yourself to do so and you deny yourself the junk so you may eat the healthy, the good. So it is in the spirit. When we taste and open our hearts and allow God access, amen, and we see how delightful, how good, how pleasant, amen, in his presence is what? Fullness of joy. Huh. See, a lot of times the devil has lied to people, deceived their minds into thinking that somehow being a Christian means that you don't have joy anymore, you don't have fun anymore, that you can't, you know, actually it's the opposite. When you really know the true Jesus, you are living like never before. You are alive like never before. And I pray that God, you develop in us all an appetite once again, amen, that we will discipline ourselves to deny those things that displease the Lord and say yes to the things that are in agreement with what he likes, amen. What he wants. Who are God's true spiritual children? Are people that go to church necessarily God's true spiritual children? You know, it's interesting. If you look at some of the ancient revivals, and even the early revivals in Wales, and even Azusa Street, but particularly in Wales, in the Anglican church at that time, Man, preachers are getting saved. I mean, a lot of the preachers were not born again. They were in a professional role, but they did not know Christ. They did not have the substance. They were talking about somebody they didn't really know. Amen. And so the same thing is true today. There are people filling the pulpits today that don't know Jesus, really. They may know about him. They may be able to teach about him. But if you don't know Jesus, if you're not born of his spirit, you're lost. And so what happened is the fear of God came upon all these people, and they began to weep and didn't know what was going on, but they trembled under the power of God. And many began to cry out, "What must I do to be saved?" Just like in the book of Acts. They begin to cry out, "What must I do?" Because the Spirit of God had fallen upon them. And the fear of God came upon all souls. That's what we need, Lord. The true spiritual children are worshipers. Those who worship God in spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:3 says, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit." Didn't say those who go to church and do church things, but people who actually worship God in the Spirit. Now, you cannot worship God in the Spirit unless the Spirit of God is in you. Amen. Your spirit must be united with God's spirit in order for you to have communion with the living God. And this is the difference. Some people come to church, they feel God, and they feel good while they're here because they're in the atmosphere of heaven, of the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. And yet in their hearts, though, they're closed off. And so when they leave the building, so does that good feeling. How many know that God brings a good feeling to your heart? Oh, we don't want to talk about feelings. How about the feelings that God gives you? How about the joy? How many have been joyful and not had joyful feelings? Let me see that hand back there. Okay, no. I rest my case, yeah. Romans 8:2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death." What is the law of sin and death? It's the law of Moses, right? It was also the law in our members. When we were born, we were separated from God, amen? And we had a conscience, at least at one time. And so man would often rely upon his conscience. But how many believe that Jiminy Cricket wasn't necessarily correct when he said, "Always let your conscience be your guide"? We're quoting Jiminy Cricket here. I haven't seen anybody leave yet, so okay. But, you know, "Always let your conscience be your guide" was the song, right? And, you know, your conscience can be a good guide for you if your conscience is united with the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. And we do have a certain knowledge of good and evil, of right and wrong. Children know that, amen, to some degree. But our conscience can become seared. It can become ineffective through sin and by resisting the Spirit of the Lord. So we can't always rely upon our conscience, but we can rely upon the Spirit of the Lord. He's always going to tell you the truth. And he tells you the truth because he loves you. And he knows that the truth is the only thing that's going to liberate your soul from bondage to Satan and to sin. Amen. So I'm glad that God has sent his Holy Spirit. He is the teacher. He has come to lead us into all truth. Was the law sinful? The law of Moses, was the law sinful? Not at all. The law is holy. Amen. But we are not. See, this is the problem. The law is perfect. The law is holy, but we are not, naturally speaking. And therefore, none of us could live up to the standards of the law because we were separated from the lawgiver. Because we did not have the Spirit of truth in us, therefore we're incapable of living according to the law of commandments. Now, in the new covenant, when you're born again, what does God do? He takes that law and he writes it on the tablets of your heart by the Spirit. Amen. So we now live by the law of the Spirit, of life in Christ Jesus. Amen? And so we know, as a believer, you know when you're in agreement with the Lord, and you know when you step out of line with the Lord because of that law of the Spirit that's in your heart. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. And he'll remind you that you stepped out of the way. So we have to be careful that we don't try to live under the law of Moses and the law of grace at the same time, or you'll become double-minded and you'll become legalistic. If you want to enjoy life, it must be in the Holy Spirit. Amen. So when we read the Bible, and we should hide this word in our hearts. Amen. When we study the word, get it into our spirit. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit who's the agent that will take that word and bring it to our remembrance. Amen. When the time comes, when we need that word. Amen. I will also say this, that there were times when I was put on the spot. Amen. And I was witnessing the people and they fired off a pretty good question about my faith. But in my heart, I was saying, Lord, help. Ever been there? And all of a sudden, I knew things that I never read in this book before because the Holy Spirit spoke, amen, and told me what I needed to say in that hour. I didn't have to premeditate. I didn't have to go through a course before I got to that conversation. I found myself in a conversation, but praise God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth was with me, amen, and he gave me what I needed. And I've learned so much just by sitting in a, when I started out in ministry with youth, we used to have rap sessions every week. We would sit around in a circle. I said, guys, ask all the questions you want. That's what we did primarily. And we relied upon the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. And they used to ask some pretty good questions. And it was amazing how the Lord came through and started giving revelation spontaneously on the spot. Even questions I didn't have an answer to, as they asked the question, I'm asking the Holy Spirit. He gave me the answer. So then I knew that, you know what? I have Holy Spirit and I can travel now. Amen. Think about this. The Word of God is like, you've heard this, the banks of a river. Amen. The river is wonderful. It's the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. But, you know, if a river overflows the banks because there's no revelation of the Word or truth, amen, to say, well, this is the Spirit of the Lord or this is not. Amen. That's why we need the Word of God, the knowledge of God, so that we can be kept within the boundaries of God's revelation. Amen. And not get off into some weird stuff. You know, there's a lot of people getting revelations today. Sometimes God does give revelation. Amen. But sometimes it's not God's revelation at all. But they don't know the difference because they don't study this book. But we study the Word of God, amen, so that we may know the living Word of God. You never study just to get information, but you study that you may know the one who this is all about. And that's where life is. Religion is dead, but the Holy Spirit is life. So, Lord, let religion fall, amen. Holy Spirit now arise. Romans 8:3 says, the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. Here's the problem. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his spirit, or excuse me, his son as a sacrifice for our sins. So what was the problem? The weakness in our sinful nature. We were incapable of living up to the demands of the law, naturally speaking. Amen. Verse 4, he did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead what? Follow the Spirit. Life and peace is in a relationship, amen, with the Lord. The Holy Spirit is the Lord on earth in us. For the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So in the new covenant, I am actually commanded to walk according to the law of the Spirit of Christ. That's written on my heart. Galatians 5:16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So in my flesh, or in my human nature, I cannot please God. Hear this. In your flesh or your human nature, you cannot please God. I know we like to take credit for the good things that we do. Amen? And the world boasts about its accomplishments and how good I am and how much I give to charity and these things that these good things that people do, but that does not make you good. You can only do real good from a good heart, and God is the one that gives you a good heart. So the heart of man has to be changed, because the natural heart of man is corrupt. Amen? And there's no good thing in my natural man, in my old sinful nature, if you will, the one I was born with, that Adamic nature that I received from Adam, right? So Paul said, I know that in me, Romans 7:18, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. In other words, he said, I want to do right, but how to do it, how to do what is good, I do not find. Well, you know, he didn't just end it there. There's a context to what he said. Because he understood that his victory was not of him, but of Christ. And he was only able to live the life that he was called to by relying upon the power of the Holy Spirit. His faith was not in the wisdom of men or in his own credentials or in his own human capability. But Paul, amen, was a broken, humble man and a servant of the Lord who did great things because he relied upon the power of God. That's why Jesus came. Because in ourselves, we could not live up to the law's demands. And so he fulfilled the requirements of the law, both moral and ceremonially, right? And then became our substitute. And on the cross, he died. And the Bible says that God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. So Jesus was God in the flesh. He was born of a virgin. Now, why is that important? Because the blood of the child is linked to the Father. So if Jesus had an earthly father, he would be no different than you or I. Right? He'd be no different than fallen, sinful human flesh. But listen to what the angel told Mary in Luke 1:35. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Ephesians 2:14, for Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when, in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law, listen, with its commandments and regulations. That which we would do outwardly just in our flesh and by our own willpower and our own strength, which was impossible for us to live up to in our own ability. So he made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. In other words, he came to transform individuals into new creations, not just to improve on the old or to patch up the old, but he came to redeem mankind and to transform us into a brand new creation in Christ. And therefore, Jew and Gentile become one in Christ, one new man in Christ Jesus. So Jesus did not have, in the sense of the biological function of things, an earthly father. Because the Holy Spirit had overshadowed the virgin who had never known a man. She said, Lord, how can this be since I have never known a man? Now, why did she say that? Because she'd never known a man. Right? And therefore, it had to be a supernatural conception. The Holy Spirit placed the seed, if you will, of Jesus into the womb of a virgin so that the bloodline would not be contaminated from Adam, from the father, amen, from an earthly father. So only the blood of Jesus Christ could cleanse away sin. And that's why there is salvation in none other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Jesus himself said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one intermediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. We have a high priest in the heavens, and we have access to the Father through the Son. Hallelujah. And only through the blood are we qualified, the blood of Christ, to be in God's presence. So first we repent of our sins and we receive a cleansing of the blood, and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within our hearts, and he begins to cry out, Abba, Father. We become worshipers in the Spirit. We are connected, and now we can have communion with God in the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing me, somebody? So it's a spirit-to-spirit interaction. Hallelujah. So because Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death, I'm no longer a slave to sin. Hallelujah. You know, I tried to do good things. I tried even to be a Christian once. Ever tried to be a Christian? Either you're going to try to be a Christian, or you're going to be a Christian. And when you are a Christian, when you're born again, amen, then you just submit to the Spirit of God. He gives you the power to live a holy life. Amen. Instead of just trying to be a good Christian today. Amen. Because I kept falling on my face, and finally I just gave up. I said, man, this ain't working. How many have heard people say, you know what, I tried Jesus, but that didn't work? It's because they're not born again. You can't just try Jesus. You've got to give Jesus the whole offering. You need to surrender to the Holy Spirit. When you surrender your life, give him your life, then he can do something with it. Until then, and it's not going to happen. As long as you are in charge, you're not going to have victory. When you're willing to submit your will to the will of God, then you can walk in victory. It's not of me. Salvation is of the Lord. Amen. And he gives us the ability to live right, to live holy by his power. We rely upon the power of God, not our own wisdom, not our own willpower, not our own cleverness, not our own oratorical skills. Is that a word? It is now. It's a living language, so. So what happens is when we're born again, Christ sets us free from the power of sin, amen? But we are then given charge, amen, of this body to then submit it, amen, in my soul and my will and my emotions, to submit them now to the Spirit of God, and I am to rule over myself by the power that God gives me by his Spirit, amen? So I am to enforce in my life what Christ has already accomplished for me at the cross. It is finished. Whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. But I have to enforce it by relying upon the power of the Holy Spirit, by surrendering myself to him daily. And as I do that, I walk in life and in peace. How many know that your life can become very tumultuous very quickly? Things can change very quickly. But if you have Christ as your foundation, if you are relying upon his ability in you, the power of his Spirit, it doesn't matter what happens externally. You can have the inner ability, amen, to control yourself and still walk in victory no matter what's going on in your life. Because you're not relying upon just your own human ability, amen, to be victorious. As some people would boast and say, man, I'm doing good. You know, I go out and I share sometimes with recovery ministries and things like this, you know. I get an opportunity to do that. And so when I go out, sometimes you hear people talk about how well they're doing and how long they've been free from addiction. And I praise God. As long as they're giving God the glory for that, that's a good thing. But what the enemy wants to do is he wants us to take credit to ourselves for whatever we're doing that's good. So we come back under the law of self-preservation and the law of me trying to do this thing, if you will, independent of him, of God. So the enemy wants to get us puffed up in our pride so that we start to boast about how good we're doing. Come on, somebody. And I've seen it over and over again where people will stand up and say, I'm doing this good and I'm doing that good. Well, you better be humble, amen, and know that God has given you the ability to do what you've done. But if you don't keep depending on him, amen, you can fall on your face again. And over again, you see them going up and down like a roller coaster, because once they start to do good, they start to disconnect from the Holy Spirit. And then they say, God, I got it from here. This is the problem. We think we got it from here now. And this is a cycle of human nature. It really is. Even in the church, in Israel of old, you see the cycle where they came into prosperity and revival, national revival, and then they got into complacency, and then into apathy, and then back into bondage again. Amen. And then God has to send a prophet and wake them up. Amen. And they repent and turn back to the Lord. He revives them again. He restores them. Amen. And they get prosperous again. And then after they get prosperous, watch out. Because even in the early American, you know, pioneers and the Puritans, they started having problems even back then when things started to get prosperous for them. They started to forget the Lord. They never had that. They lost their fervor, their passion, their desire to where they just wanted to be all about what God's doing. Amen. He was the main attraction of their life, the center of it. And all of us need to guard ourselves against this. If we want to see America turned around, it's going to start with you and I. Amen. As individuals, humbling ourselves and getting ourselves right. Amen. And getting rid of the idols, getting rid of those things that we're putting before God. Hallelujah. And God's looking for a people. He's looking for someone whose heart will be loyal to him. Someone who'll stand in the gap, amen, on behalf of the nation. So that means me. That means you. Every one of us is here to call to intercede. Every one of us is to be a prayer warrior. I don't see that gift listed in the Bible. Well, you have the gift of intercession. Do you know Brother Seymour, William Seymour at Azusa Street? This man prayed 7 hours plus a day. So why revival? Can we not watch 1 hour? In the Korean church, there's some ministers that pray more than that, 14 hours a day, some of them. Could we not watch 1 hour? Can we not discipline ourselves long enough to spend maybe an hour? That's a minimal, I think. Amen. I'm talking about just really setting yourself aside, amen, to seek the Lord and to pray, seek his face. And we walk throughout our days, amen. We should be in communion with the Lord. But I believe it's important that we set time aside where it's just between you and God. Amen. And you know, guys, even praying, we can't do it effectively without the Holy Spirit. We don't even have the ability to pray like we should, except the Holy Spirit would help us. So we need to ask for God's help, God's power, God's strength to pray. God, give me the strength. Ever pray that way? God, give me the strength to do what's right, to pray. To read your word, give me the strength, Lord. Give me the hunger. Give me the desire. Give me the passion for your word. God, give me your heart for the lost. Lord, make your will my desire. How do I enforce in my life what Christ has accomplished for me? By surrendering to the Holy Spirit, giving up the reins of your heart and letting Jesus have it. We are in a partnership with him. I know we all like that song, most of us probably. Jesus, take the wheel. How many know he's not going to take the wheel? He says, I'll join you with the wheel, all right? We're going to do this thing together. But he's just not going to take the wheel for you. He's saying, you cooperate with me in this. We'll walk together. Hook up with me. Yoke up with me. We're going to do teamwork, all right? That's how it works. Amen. It's you and I partnering with Jesus, amen, in this world. And relying upon his strength to carry us and to keep ourselves pure. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit. Here we go again. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So once again, it's possible to live in the Spirit, but not walk in the Spirit. Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the what? Law of sin and death. Hallelujah. So let's take a look at an example from the Old Testament here. And in the Old Testament, we see types and shadows of what's happening in the New Testament, what's being fulfilled today, and what Christ has accomplished for us and things that are yet to be done. So let's look at this. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, these things, what Old Testament examples, happened to them as examples for us that were written down to warn us, To do what? Everybody say, warn us. Who live at the end of the age. So what had happened is Israel had been supernaturally delivered out of Egypt, amen, by the hand of God. And they found themselves camping at a place called Rephidim. And Rephidim means refreshings or resting places. So they found themselves in a place where it was easy. They had a break. They had a time of peace, maybe some prosperity, if you will. And in Exodus 17 and verse 8, it says, while the people of Israel were still at this place of rest, Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. You know, the enemy studies us and he looks for opportunity. He knows where we're vulnerable. He knows where we're weak. And so he waits for us to kind of fall asleep or to let our guard down. And the times we're usually unguarded is the times when things are going well. And we have this idea that I don't need to pray like I used to. Come on, somebody. So he's like a roaring lion, isn't he? He studies the prey. He's looking for an opportunity to get in at us. So that's why we're commanded to be strong in the Lord. We have to put on the full armor of God. We need to stay armored up every day. Amen. Because you don't know what a day will hold for you. Amen. Sometimes we have surprises and shocks that hit us. Amen. And so we need to be prepared for whatever comes our way. But live our lives, amen, unto the Lord, relying upon him, staying close to him so that you can hear the voice clearly of the Lord speaking to you. When something happens, the first thing we should do is not run to the doctor, but run to Dr. Jesus. Amen. If something happens, if you're walking with the Lord, the first thing you do is go, Lord, you know what I need. I can tell you guys that a lot of times we can save a lot of medical bills. If we would just say, you know what, I'm going to contend for my healing. I'm going to believe God for a miracle. Amen, somebody. Sometimes God may use other means, but the first thing we should always do is call on the Lord and say, Lord, what do you say? Sometimes the Lord will just give you an instruction. He'll give you wisdom as to what to do. But there's other times when the Lord wants to demonstrate his power in your life and be a testimony. Amen. Who is Amalek? Amalek represents the flesh. He was the offspring of Esau. Esau was a natural man, you know. It was Jacob and Esau. Jacob represented the spiritual man and Esau the fleshly man. The old nature and the new nature. You see, Esau was the offspring of Esau and Esau was the brother of Jacob. And so he represents that which was born of the flesh, whether natural or carnal man. All right? So Amalek, again, was what? A representation of the fleshly or the carnal. It's important that we understand that. Because the biggest battle that we're facing is not the devil, but the flesh. That's influenced by the devil. And if we can get our flesh submitted to the Spirit of God, the devil can't touch us. Hello? A lot of times people aren't living right. They're not obeying the Holy Spirit. And then they're going around blaming the devil for everything. Well, maybe if you just discipline yourself and start listening to what God is telling you to do and to pray up, amen, and be armored up, amen, the devil's not going to be constantly messing with you. Guys, I don't live in torment to the devil because I know God is with me and I rely upon God's help, amen, his grace, amen, to live free from that dude. And God has also given me authority, amen, to tell him to go. Guys, you just need to put your foot down and reject him. Reject him in Jesus' name. And he will flee. Hallelujah. So Israel was delivered, found themselves in a place of comfort and ease, prosperity, if you will. Now, I know they were still in the wilderness, but understand the meaning of that word, Rephidim, of resting. And that's when they became the most vulnerable. And that's when Amalek started to attack. See, our flesh is stronger than we realize sometimes. Amen. Amen. When you've been in a season and you've been praying and fasting, you know what I'm talking about. Or when you first get the word from the Lord, he says, I want you to fast. What happens is Amalek says, oh, no, I don't want to do that. You find out how strong that Amalek is, right? That flesh man. When he's going to do something contrary to what you want, that you might do what God wants. So you got to get over what you want to do so you can do what God wants you to do. And when you do what God wants you to do, there's life and peace in that place. There's joy in the offering. Come on, somebody. If you're willing to offer yourself back to God, amen, God will give you his strength, his joy. Hallelujah. We replace us with him. Lord, set me aside as we pray, right? That your life will come through. So today, you know, in the life of the believer, we're dealing with a war, aren't we? Within ourselves, between the spirit and Amalek, or the flesh man. And we have to win this war. You cannot allow your flesh to win. And there's no excuse, because God has given you everything you need that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him, understanding who you are in him, who he is in you, and what's available to you freely given in Christ. The power of his spirit, amen, is there for you. If you will call upon the Lord, you will be delivered. Galatians 5:17 says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But here's the key. Verse 18, if you are what? Led by the Spirit. You are not under the law. Now, I know many of us have heard these verses many times, but how many know that we need to keep looking into the mirror and being reminded once again, oh, yes, that's right. Come on. Oh, I've got enough Bible knowledge. I'm good for the rest of my life. No, you're not. You need to keep looking into the perfect law of liberty. Amen. You need to keep looking in the mirror. And once in a while, we got to get recalibrated. We need to get an attitude adjustment. Amen. And the word of God is a light. Amen. And it comes back in. And if there's areas that have crept in, amen, where the enemy's crept in, that word will come in. Amen. And expose that. And the word will convict us by the Spirit, and then we can repent. And once we repent, the power of the enemy and the authority that he had there has been broken. And now you can tell him to go. If you submit yourself to God, then you can resist the devil. First, submit yourself to God, then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. So here's the question. And this is the question really we need to ask each other every day, is who will rule over me today? Yeah. Who's going to rule? Is Jesus Lord of your life? Or are you Lord of your own life? Those are the two choices. Either Jesus is going to be Lord of your life, or you're going to be Lord over your own life. And how many know that being Lord over your own life will lead to disaster? And even though you may prosper in this world, being Lord of your own life, in the end, it will not be well for you. Because all of us are going to face eternity. All of us are going to face the Lord someday. And Jesus died, amen, to redeem us from our sinful nature, amen, to set us free from that and the power of sin, and to bring us into sonship. Because what God is offering us is superior to anything this world will offer you. God is offering us eternal life. God is offering to share his kingdom with his children. God wants us to be born again. And that's the only way we're going to see the kingdom. And that means I have to surrender, give up my life to Jesus Christ. It's the best decision any of us can ever make, is to give your life to the Lord. Because that's the only place where your soul is secure. It's the only place where your soul is safe. So we're most vulnerable, guys, in the time of inactivity. How many know that the enemy wants you to be inactive spiritually? He wants you to stay in a neutral place, tread water. How many know that when I'm not living deliberately for the Lord, I'm most vulnerable? because other things are going to start coming in, and other things are going to look more attractive, and other things are going to start to seduce me, and I'm going to find myself in things that I would have never thought of ever being involved with, but now I found myself in a trap because I allowed myself to become, hear me, spiritually lazy. I'm no different than anybody here. I have to be very careful not to allow myself to become spiritually lazy. And I rely upon the Holy Spirit. Lord, give me the strength to discipline my body and my mind and my spirit. Amen. And to do what's right in your sight. But even to be able to pray, to call on God for the strength that I need, it requires the grace of God. So in everything we pray, in everything we give thanks, in everything we rely upon God's ability. Amen. So that I can live victoriously over myself primarily. God warns us to remain vigilant because we're at war. Whether you like it or not, we are in a war, and it's a war for your soul. The flesh and the devil, they are out to get you. Child of God, the devil is out to get you. Don't be deceived. Don't be fooled. You need Jesus, amen, and you need to learn how to lean on him and walk closely with him and carefully with him. And I want to get into a place I'm praying, Lord, even in the smallest of things, I want to find myself obedient to you, to obey your voice, because the little things matter. If you can't be faithful in little, don't expect to be ruler of much. Hebrews 3:12, speaking to the church. Here, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Whew. Hear that. Lest any of you be hardened. Is it possible for a Christian to become hardened? Somebody say yes, because the Word of God is clear. We can become calloused, insensitive to the Spirit of God because we refuse to yield and to listen. When a person backslides, the things that they used to blush at, they no longer blush at. The things that used to bother them no longer bother them. Their conversation begins to change. Their desires begin to change. They become more worldly and centered on the things of this life than on the things of the kingdom. I want to be like David. I want to be a man after God's own heart. How about you? I know you do. But it requires surrender to the Holy Spirit. Because without him, we can do nothing. We cannot do this without the power of God. And so many Christians are doing just even less the early church as it began to wander off from its moorings, from its foundation, from its first love. They begin to get involved in the things of this life and they begin to get distracted and they begin to leave the Lord. And we need to come back. It's time. What is today? He says, exhort one another daily while it's called today. Today is talking about this time of grace that we're in. The time when God is still giving opportunity for people to be saved. Don't think that, well, one of these days, maybe on my deathbed, I'll give my life to Jesus. How many know that many people go into eternity lost, amen, and in hell because they refuse the offer of God. They refuse the love of God that they might be saved when they were given the opportunity. God so loves us. And so loved us that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus laid down his life for us. He deserves everything because he paid for it in blood. And he is the only Savior. There is no other name. Moses had to conduct war against Amalek. And He could not remain passive in this battle. How many know that passive or idle Christians will get walked on by the devil? I'm going to say it again. Passive or idle Christians will get walked on by the devil. If we would just learn how to walk with the Lord and stay close to Him through communion, through our prayer life and through our worship and through our praise and singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord, staying connected to the vine. Amen. Jesus is the vine, and the life that He supplies us is His presence, His Spirit, His grace that's effective to keep us, amen, and to protect us from all the deception of the enemy and all the tricks of the enemy, because he's out to get us. And we must learn to armor up and stay close to God, because it doesn't matter how strong we think we are. Be careful, lest at any time you think you stand, you fall. Exodus 17:9, Moses commanded Joshua, "Choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. Verse 11, as long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Overcoming faith is not passive faith. It is diligent faith. Hebrews 11:6, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Prayer requires faith. The diligent prayer of faith has substance. It has evidence. Amen? Because faith is the only thing that pleases God. That we believe Him. That we receive His word. Amen. Persevering faith wins the battle. Exodus 17:12, Moses' arms soon became so tired, he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. I think of Christ being our foundation. Amen. Our solid rock. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. What happened here is Moses had to contend until the battle was over, until Amalek was completely destroyed. Are you hearing me, somebody? He had to persevere in faith. And Moses began to get weary in the battle. So he had brothers and sisters, amen, that came around him, hallelujah, to help hold his hands up, amen. And then God had his special forces out there on the playing field, amen, dealing directly with the enemy. Come on, all of us have a part to do here. All of us working together, amen. We have our rear echelon. We have our front line troops, amen. And God's got his prophets. He's got his seers out there, amen. He's got the scouts out in front. If we would team up and pull together and work together, understanding that we're in this together and we need each other. We need you here. We need you together with God's people. Come on, somebody. If we want to see revival, we're going to have to come together. Amen. And we're going to have to seek the Lord like we continue to do. Amen. And seek His face together. Hallelujah. Because when we are in unity and one accord and in one place, hallelujah, things happen. Hallelujah. God is doing things, amen, among us, but we need a sovereign move of God in this nation. Amen. We need a great awakening in this nation. And God's calling every one of us here, everyone that calls His name, amen, to join together to storm heaven. Hallelujah. That we might have salvation and healing and deliverance in our land. Amen. God wants to bring reconciliation, broken hearts, broken lives, broken people. And He wants to put them back together. Amen. And it begins with the house of God. It begins with us. If we, His people, will humble ourselves. Hallelujah. And pray. And seek His face. And turn from our wicked ways. Then God said, I will do what? I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal. Oh, Jesus. Let's pray for America. Lord, heal our land. Heal our land. Turn our nation back to you. God, have mercy. Have mercy on us. Lord, give strength to your people. Give strength to us, Lord, that we can stand up and fight, that we can stand in the gap, and that we can persevere, that we will not become weary, Lord, in well-doing. Because we know if we continue, Lord, to be faithful in due season, we will reap. Oh, God, help us. Give us strength. Oh, Jesus, stir up the gift of God in every heart. Bring your people to full flame. Wake us up inside, Lord. Lord, send revival to your church.